From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. It may be flu season, but another disease is on the rise in the U.S., shingles. First, tomorrow would have been the birthday of Thomas Eric Duncan. The Liberian man died this fall of Ebola at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. That day will be a difficult one for Duncan's family. KERA's Dwali Saikautau visited his mom and sister at their home outside Charlotte, North Carolina.
It's just past dinner time, and 86-year-old Nowai Garte Kakuia sits on a red sofa, stitching a purple traditional dress called alapa. She remembers the day when her son Eric was born.
He was born Friday, 8 o'clock sharp, right in my living room.
It was 1971 on her 3-acre farm in northeast Liberia. 20 years later, she says her baby was all grown up and managed to deliver to the family hard to get supplies during that country's civil war, including clothes.
No clothes, no bucket, no saw, no soap. He bought a bucket, he bought a soap, he bought clothes and sent it to us. He was so good. He was so good.
The war displaced nearly 500,000 people, including her family, first to the Ivory Coast, then to Ghana. In 1990, her daughter was granted political asylum in the U.S. Now they live just outside Charlotte. Another day Kakuia will never forget, the moment she was told about her son's death, when hospital officials asked her to sit down.
Sit down. I said, you want to tell me the truth? I can't see Ire. I'm confused. I don't know what to do for my son. Let his soul rest in peace.
Let his soul rest in peace.
This is a nightmare.
May Wura is Duncan's sister and a registered nurse in Charlotte.
Diagnosed in America, people came here sick and they survived. I don't think he should die. No, not from Ebola. In America,
It was her suggestion that Duncan first go to the ER, fearing malaria or typhoid fever, known diseases in Liberia. But Presbyterians sent her brother home, even when records showed a 103-degree fever and travel from West Africa.
That was a red flag. I would, keep him there and do more tests. So I was concerned. I kept calling. So I said, maybe you need to go back to that hospital.
He did, 2 days later, and was correctly diagnosed with Ebola. She still has questions about her brother's care and why he died when 8 other Ebola patients in the U.S. survived. On October 4th, Duncan received his first dose of an experimental drug.
On the 7th, the report we got was great. I went home with high hopes. My mom, she had not eaten for days. She was able to eat a full meal on the 7th. She thought her son was going to make it. I thought you were going to make it too.
But her brother died the next morning without a single family member by his side.
My brother was a compassionate person. I've never saw him mad. Never. He was a family person, loved everyone. That's why I hurt so bad. And we're going on Monday. I was hoping, I said, when I get there, I will have, I'll give him.
After the tears, occasionally the anger comes back, especially when she thinks about people who called her brother a liar or a criminal.
Why would he come here with Ebola to infect people? Why would he do something like that? Come here to infect his mom, infect his children? Come here with Ebola to infect them? I just want to praise God that we are able to forgive, because I'm telling you, it's a lot of anger.
The family reached a confidential settlement with the hospital a month after Duncan was cremated. Wura says her mother didn't care.
She just wanted her son back. Up to this day, what can we do? We have to forgive and move on.
One of the ways they do this is by filling plastic blue barrels with clothes and other donations to send to Liberia. One barrel is nearly full in their dining room. May Wura says, when she misses her brother and is desperate to hear his voice, she listens to songs by Liberian musicians who are helping to raise funds to fight the deadly disease. Dwali Saikautau, KERA News.
of every three people in the U.S. will develop shingles, and anyone who's had chickenpox is at risk. KERA's Sam Baker talked with Dr. Brian Jones of Methodist Family Health Center about the rise in shingles for this week's installment of Vital Signs.
Shingles is a reactivation of the chickenpox virus. So when someone has chickenpox as a child or at any point in their life, they'll resolve that illness, but it never really completely goes away. The virus actually will lay dormant in the nerve cells in the body. And then later on, during times of stress or illness, or sometimes just seemingly out of the blue, the virus will reactivate and form a rash that's localized to that nerve distribution, and that's what we call shingles.
Why does that virus reactivate in some people and not others who have had chickenpox?
Now, we don't have the exact answer. In most people, you would have to say that it relates to stress. We can see it reactivate more than once in some people, but there are, you know, a good number of people who will go through life and never have shingles.
So has any type of profile emerged in who's most likely to get shingles?
Well, women are more likely, and the African-American population is less likely. Outside of that, you have to have had shingles before, but that's the only other requirement.
I know it involves a rash, but one guy I knew some time ago described the discomfort with it as the worst he's ever had.
It can be incredibly painful. In fact, that's the biggest complication of shingles, is what we call postherpetic neuralgia. You can get the pain with the shingles outbreak when it first occurs because it's occurring in the distribution of a nerve. And so you get this neurological discomfort, this neurological pain, and that can persist even after the resolution of the rash.
How serious a threat is shingles to your health?
For most people, the biggest risk is the postherpetic neuralgia and the discomfort of the rash and the difficulty in dealing with the rash. However, it can turn into encephalitis or myelitis or a cranial nerve dysfunction or even strokes and other serious complications. It can affect vision as well.
Has there been any change as to how that disease has developed? I mean, are cases of shingles worse now than they were a few years ago or decades ago?
No, the degree of severity of the shingles seems to be consistent across time. However, you know, we have a very good surveillance for shingles at this point. We have better methods to deal with shingles. We have more treatments available, antivirals and medications that decrease postherpetic neuralgia than we've had in the past.
Is it something that can be cured?
Not cured per se. You know, we can treat it. We can shorten the duration of the illness. We can decrease the rate of complications. But once you have it, it's going to run its course. We can just modify that course.
You mentioned vaccines. So can shingles be prevented?
Shingles can be prevented. We do have vaccines available for the prevention of shingles, and they are indicated for anyone over the age of 60. They're FDA approved for people over the age of 50, but we typically give them to people over the age of 60, especially those who are at higher risk for shingles. I'd say the most important thing is to speak with your doctor about what your need for immunization is and see if you're a candidate for the vaccine. And then if you have a rash, especially a painful rash, try to get treatment right away, because early treatment is important in diminishing the course of the disease.
Dr. Jones, thank you for being with me.
You're welcome, Sam.
Dr. Brian Jones is a family health physician with Methodist Family Health Center of Cedar Hill. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, should be a low around 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny, a high near 43. Tomorrow night, colder, partly cloudy, with a low near 28. It's 50 degrees in Dallas, 52 in Fort Worth. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.